Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on Earth!
And hello, and welcome back to the greatest show on Earth that is Talking Terror. As always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, welcoming you to this episode, where tonight we may be a day short, but we are celebrating 420 with the Ghoul Geeky Film Pick of the Week, Evil Bong 420 from 2015, and kind of directed by Charles Band. We'll get into it later on in the show. But as always, I am joined by the King of Ganja himself, the bold and the beautiful, the Ghoul Geek Keith.
Hey, man. What's going on, everybody? It's a good day. The day after, I think, 420 happened at some point or another, man.
What is up, everybody?
Bro.
Shut up, we're talking about you and your fucking stupid scooter. Alright? Go back where you came from.
Dude, you bust
yeah, we're not
Matt
talking
Riddle,
about
Riddle. What up with that, man?
Matt Riddle. Ultimate bro.
Bro.
That's his scooter. You know, he's hot. That's fun. He's Little Evil Knievel. But we're also joined by the psychotic the man, Monkey, the Prince of Namor's Day. Yes. Get funky with it, Monkey.
Yes, bro. Okay, this is the Mad Monkey, broadcasting you live from the Drunken Monkey Rehabilitation Clinic, where we, the Talking Terror cast, bring you the best show that is out there. Yeah, horror podcast shit. That's what we do. Yeah, 100% something. That's what we do, bro. Okay. All right. Moving on. What?
So, hey, listen. If you guys could get high, I will be over here drinking like Oliver Reed in the corner.
Beating women, getting in bar fights. That's what you fucking do. I am Oliver Reed. Do not tell me what to do. I am Oliver Reed. I do not live in the land of sobriety.
Do you want to fight? Who wants to fight? Shave off my
you,
head.
You fucking frog bastard, you.
You fucking blunt boys. Fucking frog bastard. I told you were going to like that clip I sent you while we're in this barber's chair. Fucking gold.
Dude, no shit, man. Just balls to the wall. Just Oliver Reed. Just no apologies whatsoever. But I believe we have someone else to join our show as well.
Do we? Because I don't have anybody.
Moving on.
The doctor must not be in.
The dean is out of the office.
Oh, the dean.
The
yeah,
dean
sorry,
is having
man,
a conference
yeah.
call.
Yeah, it should be a Zoom meeting, but you know how things go.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The dean thought he had, you know, the video turned off to his conference call while he had no pants on. But lo and behold, everyone stole the dean's hockey stick, and now he is banned from being the dean.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, if somebody wants that work, because I don't know. I have not seen him yet, so I guess we'll have to proceed without him.
All right.
For the time being.
We're going to sit here for the first hour in silence since we don't have news because, you know, no tea, no news. So everybody will be back at 10 o'clock and see you later.
Well, welcome to Coffee Talk. All right. I'm going to give you a topic to discuss amongst yourselves. All right. Well, fuck that shit because... Because fuck that shit, because if we don't have him, then Ghoul and I are going to sit there, jump super quick into the fucking Marvel Universe to sit there and just super, super quick tap into fucking the Falcon and Winter Soldier because, oh, he's here. Oh,
welcome, Dean.
to the episode.
Please regale us with some tales about Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're captivated. We're waiting with bated breath to learn the fate of the Winter Soldier and the Falcon Man.
The Falcon Man, what is this? No, I was just going to sit there and go. Ghoul is like, you know, King Dean, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with it as well, but it's just Marvel and what they did this past episode. I was really, really impressed with the social commentary that Disney put out there in this past episode. I was really impressed.
I know nothing.
With the shit that they put out there.
It's a strong series, and I was highly impressed with what they pulled off with episode 5. Again, a 6-episode series. I thought coming into this episode, it was going to be one of those where they're going to give you the little teases and whatnot of the big finale that we're going to get, but we weren't going to get anything strong. Well, hell was I wrong, man. The episode opens up with an awesome fucking fight. And just continues from there into all kinds of chaos and social commentary as far as race relations go and how we see things as Americans and why, you know, you could almost say it goes meta in a lot of ways in why we haven't seen Sam don the shield yet, you know, but we'll see what happens in episode 6. You know, I can't wait to see what Bucky gave him in that case, man. I'm pretty thrilled for that.
Man, we got the case and he opened it up. No, but he got the case, though, and he opened it up, though, and we didn't get to see what was in there. I was like, oh, it's like fucking Pulp Fiction. I was like, oh, you motherfucker.
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
That's why Sam has the band-aids on the back of his neck.
See, exactly. Nah, I mean, again, obviously it's going to be some kind of flight suit and wings from Wakanda. You know, so I'm sure it's going to be vibranium, and we're going to get, you know, I just don't know what color pattern we're looking at. You know, I know when Sam donned the Captain America name in the comics, he kind of had a whole color change with the suit and everything. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. You know, I'm good with the fact that we don't have a Captain America. I like Sam as Falcon, and I feel like he's established as said character. You know, so in a lot of ways to try to take up the shield, both in that universe and in our real world, is kind of a daunting task because of what's been put before him. It'd be like somebody else trying to step into Iron Man's shoes at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I was just hoping that throughout this series we had seen something of them trying to build a new roster slowly for a new Avengers. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Gold, we don't really have anyone in the Avengers stable right now. It's like because we have the Black Widow who's off right now. Then we have, you know, Sam.
She's
we
dead.
Possibly have the Winter Soldier.
She's
what?
Dead.
You have her.
Black
dead.
Widow's dead. She died in Endgame.
She died.
You have a gigantic roster of Avengers left. You got to think about the end sequence of Endgame. You know, we have everybody from Doctor Strange to Spider-Man to, you know, Peter Quill and company, if need be. You know, I know some of them are off-world doing this, doing that. Earth's mightiest heroes may not necessarily be on Earth at the moment, but they'll do what they've got to do. And we've got War Machine, you know, because we know War Machine rocks. Much better fucking name than Iron Patriot. So there's stuff to do here, and there's a lot more to introduce and to play with. I mean, look, the name of the series is Falcon and Winter Soldier. I didn't go into this thinking we were going to see something that's building to Avengers level. All of these Disney Plus series are going to be like miniseries when we get them in comic books. You know, it's going to be a short storyline that's dedicated to exactly what it's telling us, and maybe it has some influence down the road where there may be a mention or, you know, again, next time we see Sam in one of the bigger movies, he's going to have a new suit. You know, oh, I watched the show. I know where he got that suit. You know, but I don't think we're going to see anything in these little shows that's going to be a major turning point. You know, that's what the movies are for.
Good point, man.
You know, but they're all good for setup. So I'm looking forward to Loki. We've got a big, big gap, you know, in between here, though. But I do know that I had shared the trailer because I know in May, we're not getting Loki till June. Obviously, this weekend is the last episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier. But I know starting in May, we're going to get MODOK. So that
Murdoch?
Looks like a fun anime. Yeah, MODOK. So that looks like a fun series. I'm guessing, you know, based on the tone of it, it's on Hulu, which is good. That means that they're a little bit freer than what I would think you're going to get on Disney Plus as far as language and behaviors. But I'm thinking they might be trying to take a little bit of a page from the Harley Quinn cartoon series. It looks like it's going to be a little bit of a raunchy comedy that's going to have like a bit of a family twist to it.
All right, cool. All right, so we've burnt enough of our time. Dean, you, horror news, what have you got, baby? Shuffling pages.
Horror.
Shuffling pages.
So many items
Hi,
to
Dean.
Talk about.
Hi,
oh,
welcome
good
to
evening.
The show.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome. It always makes me feel toasty inside to be welcomed so generously to the proceedings.
How was your 420 out there in California, man?
Unfortunately, wait, did I? Oh, I did. I did get to some product. It's by the end of the night. I was not able to celebrate the festive holiday as I had originally intended to, because of some things that needed to be attended to in other capacities. But I was able to take something to help me sleep. You know, we have products for everything you can think of out here, specifically designed for those purposes. So it was uneventful, not very exciting this year. But our plants are doing wonderful, you know, and are on the way, our two plants for this year.
Indeed, indeed. Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry,
what you got?
I was just going to ask, does the Mrs. Dean partake as well?
More than I do.
Oh, wow.
Hey,
I'm sorry. I just took her as very clean cut and stuff like that, just because I remember you telling us about her past of being in the Catholic schools and her left hand and, you know, having to be certified non-satanic and all that kind of stuff. I did not realize that. All right. She partook, yeah, hardcore. All right. Sweet.
But one thing to keep in mind with the wealth of products and targeted purposes, every kind of possible ingestion product you can think of. when I say more than me, it's not even a matter of just taking a product for the distinct purpose of feeling high or getting stoned. There's
medical.
Just like an improved mood, like tincture that she takes in the morning and sometimes throughout the day. You know, there's some high CBD, low THC, you know, products and pens and things that we use throughout the day. There's some particular products that she uses to settle down at night for going to sleep. If you have like an ailment or like something, like there is a product for you that you can probably have in legitimate flower that you would light on fire and smoke like traditionally, or in a vapor form, or in a cookie or a cracker or a little piece of chocolate or a drink, or a tincture, there or a capsule or a gummy. You know, there's mm-hmm. just a million different possible products. And when you go on to the different, there's two services that we use locally that deliver right to our house. When you go on to their website, when you go on to their respective websites and search, it's like, you know, you can just see the incredible amount of products for all purposes that, you know, you can search by purpose. Like you can say, I want something that will make me feel creative. I want something that will make me go to sleep. I want something that will make my sore back feel better. So it's become that much of a science. So there are many, many, many different uses and purposes. And yeah, sometimes we just pack the bowl and get stoned. But cannabis in our home is used for in a multitude of ways for a multitude of reasons.
All right, cool, man.
Okay. That's
fully supports everything. Everything that Steve just said, man. And all I was going to say before is I was excited because, you know, with New York legalizing, we now have 3 interconnected states that are fully legal. So even though I know, obviously, you know, you have the issues of crossing state lines and all that shit, I would assume, you know, that being that it's legal in Jersey, it's legal in Massachusetts, and it's legal in New York, that I can now take trips to Massachusetts to get fucking product of any nature. And similar to California, you know, they have similar websites where you just look up what you want and how you want it and just go and get that shit. Trips real soon, man.
$15.
I feel bad that let me rephrase that. I'm stoked that you have such easy access, but I'll miss the fun and excitement of trying to think of what code names to use in my packages that I would send in the mail.
Listen, man, you know we still got to have fun like that, man.
Definitely not weed.
Definitely not. And definitely not during
it's
the
not
summer.
It's not weed.
Okay? Not during the summer on hot days.
Certainly.
Particularly. But mostly because there's specific things that you can only get in certain locations that they don't have access to in Massachusetts. So.
True.
I'll talk to you about
true,
it
true.
Later, man. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Quality, man. It's all about the quality, dude. That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this show. All about quality. Well.
Yes.
Indeed.
Okay.
So
now that I believe we covered 420. All right. Thoroughly.
Did you blaze up, Monk? Did you smoke the fucking bone, man? Did you light up a bowl?
I
do a couple bong hits.
I do not partake of the devil's lettuce. We have covered this before. That is all the diva, not me, because we are poor. And she's got her legal card, and I give her $420 a month, and she gets to spend that on her weed. but other than that, like, you know, King and I, we are old school. We are drunks. We are not stoners. We are drunks. Isn't that right, my brother?
Men of the drink. We don't partake in the devil's. We drink our pain away like men.
Like manly men. Tilt the glass. Mm.
Right. Tilt the pint. That's how we do it.
Schlante.
See, if I took less edibles, I remember that you didn't smoke, man. But don't worry. The next time I ask you, you'll tell me the same thing, and I'll still not remember it.
The reason is, man, it's like because back in the day, I used to sit there and make these fucking kick-ass bongs that were like only a foot long, but the way that I made them, they were as strong
like
as a TM. Your dick is as long as a TM, and it sure as fuck ain't as strong as one. All right, but anyway, I used to make these fucking bongs, and one time I got together with these motherfuckers, and we were hanging out at this chick's apartment, and we were smoking for an hour straight out of a bong, all right, in a bathroom with no ventilation. So hour straight out of a bong that I made. So that shit, like the shit was super deep. You could pack a lot of shit in there, you know, get it going nice and hot, get lots and lots of fucking shit going on. All right, did that for an hour straight, you know, no ventilation in there. So we're getting all kinds of secondhand smoke on top of all that kind of shit. And then when we get out, they sit there and put a strobe in the middle of the room being like, hey, let's have some fun. All right, the room starts spinning on me in one direction, and then it starts spinning on me in another direction, almost like one of those fucking space camp kind of things you fucking saw, all right? And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
The centrifugal machine?
Yeah, that's what the room was feeling like, man. All right, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? You know, because I've never fucking had any of my pot hit me like this. He was like, oh, no, no, dude, to make tonight special, I got some extra shit. And I was like, what do you mean some extra shit? He goes, no, I had some PCP laced into it as well. And I was like, wait, what? And cool. So, yeah, so I ended up spending the rest of the night throwing up in this chick's bathtub because, like, I just got such, like, motion sickness from the strobe going on while this was, like, me just having this heavy, heavy fucking hit of apparently smoking PCP for the first time ever in my fucking life, all right? And my body did not like it, so I ended up throwing up the rest of the night, and then my friend coming in every once in a while checking on me, and every once in a while he'd show up in his underwear. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, I'm hooking up with the chick in the apartment. I was like, okay, you have fun with that one. I keep throwing up, you fucking asshole. And since then, it's like just the smell of pot, especially the a good skunk weed, just fucking gets me and just makes me feel fucking nauseous. So I just keep the fuck away from actually partaking myself.
Hmm. Okay, well, there you have it. You know, it's somebody laces your weed with some PCP, and it's a good enough reason, you know. I mean, look at it this way, man. Back in my partying days, I remember the one time my stepdad decided to fucking cut some heroin into the cocaine that we were snorting on a fucking the work desk, and didn't tell me until after
shit.
The fact.
Oh shit! Great.
And I was pretty sore about that, you know. So it kind of turned me off from doing anything with him anymore.
Pretty sore about it. Hey, you mister, that's what you get for heroin in my coke. You're in trouble, sir.
I'm not gonna party with you anymore.
No party time for you, mister.
Thanks,
yeah,
Dad.
Yeah, and Sam Kennison says you're cut off too, motherfucker. No more rails with Sam Kennison. He says, fuck that. No. Sam Kennison likes his rails straight up. He doesn't like it cut with anything. All right, now, Dean, have you got any horror news for tonight?
Well, that's right. We're a horror show. So the time has come. There's been so much buzz, and so many people have been excited, and I even think our very own King of Horror has sung its praises. But the time has come just about, you know, for all of us to have the opportunity to see the buzzy film that's been making the rounds, none other than PG Psycho Goreman, because that is going to hit Shudder for all May 20th. It's had all the buzz lately in the horror world. I think our very own King of Horror, I believe. I might have said Ghoul. I meant the King. Was a fan of Psycho
King.
Goreman. I did
Me
the King,
too.
But I apologize. Ghoul, thank you. Oh, Monkey saw it also. So
hell yeah.
You know, people were excited about this. So many people have been talking about it, and we will all get the chance on May 20th because it will become a Shudder exclusive.
Can't wait.
That's
a new song, man. I think that's
coming up. It's so weird. It's only going to be released on Shudder, no other streaming service? Is that what's going on?
Nope.
From what I understand, it's going to be a Shudder exclusive.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys get the chance, seriously, check it out. It's such a fun movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'll definitely be checking it out when it hits this particular streaming service.
Come back, my hunky boys.
Maybe I do like the hunky boys. Well, then there was the one time where I was on the Rainbow Bridge in Nostradamus, where I was trying to fight the demon of the Netherrealm. Anyway, moving on.
Well, you got to take a Gorman, dude.
King knows what I'm talking about.
And there we have it. There's our news, everybody. Good night.
All
right.
There is
thanks
our
for listening, everybody.
There's our awkward silence for the evening. But it seems that there is another rights battle that is starting to heat up. It seems that Jim and John Thomas, who were the original scribes of 1987's Predator, have filed a lawsuit, one of those copyright law termination provisions, against Disney to reacquire the rights to Predator because that 35-year window has passed, which allows original creators to, like, reacquire rights. Disney has countersued to prevent that from happening because apparently they have a Predator reboot in the works with 10 Cloverfield Lane director Dan Trachtenberg set to direct, and they want that to be able to happen. Jim and John Thomas said that they first reached out to Disney about this in 2016 to let them know that this 35-year time was coming up, and they plan to, you know, go through the steps to try to reacquire the rights. And they said that they had heard absolutely nothing from the Mouse House up until they filed suit and saw that Disney filed a countersuit. But that 35-year period just passed on April 17th, just a few days ago. So they want to use the copyright termination provision to get their rights back. So as we have talked endlessly for so long about the rights disputes in the world of Friday the 13th, it seems that another one is heating up in the world of the Predator.
This should be fun, man, that someone's actually going to take on Disney in a lawsuit. And
yeah.
Like, we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about people that, you know, have no money like Friday the 13th is going on. Right? We're talking about someone actually trying to take on, like you said, the House of Mouse for the rights of Predator. So I'm going to be really curious about this one.
Yeah, I have no idea what the Thomas financial position is as far as having, you know, the ability to do this. But obviously, you know, Disney has unlimited financial resources. If copyright law is clear, and you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm sure, you know, I saw this story in a couple of different places today, so I'm sure that there will be follow-up news. And I assure all of you, my fellow co-hosts and our loyal listening audience, to keep you updated on this exciting topic.
I love it. Hey,
yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, I mean, I know Disney wants, obviously, they want to get a film out of it. They feel like they've got, you know, something that'll put butts in seats and make them some money. You know, I enjoyed 10 Cloverfield Lane. Not sure how I feel about that director being attached to Predator, but I'm also somebody who really hasn't liked the majority of the Predator films besides the original. I know the sequel is its own thing, and it's enjoyable when you look at it from the right perspective. But for me, that first movie is the only one that is, like, you know, it's my go-to whenever there's something to do with Predator, man. And I just don't feel like Disney is the company to recapture that feeling. So I wouldn't mind it going back to the original writers if they have something to do with it. Like, I hope this isn't just a matter of them wanting the fucking product just because they want to make some money and actually put out, like, another fucking turd movie like Predators. Well, The Predator. I didn't mind Predators. The Predator, though, was a fucking hot turd.
I love that movie. I'll defend that movie to the fucking end. The Predator was fun. I don't know why people hated it so much.
Because it sucked.
Out of that movie.
A movie that didn't suck. That's what they wanted. That didn't suck.
I will defend the Predator to the end. I will make that my pick, and I will defend the fuck out of that movie.
You know how you don't like the fucking Dawn of the Dead remake, bro? That's exactly what people didn't want. They didn't want a movie that sucked.
I just, what we talked about, I wanted out of the Predator. I don't know what people fucking wanted. People are like, that movie sucked. Like, what did you want? Like, it got everything that you needed. It had comedy, it had horror, it had action. Like, you can't top Predator. You can't top Predator.
And that's what I'm saying. The thing with the original Predator that you have to keep in mind is that you had for the first Predator, it's fine. We all know that you have to say everything because the world revolves around you and your narcissism. But
thank you.
You're welcome. But the original Predator, right, had the most. The original Predator, and in a different way than like the Expendables series, because that was like on purpose, like specifically because of something like Predator. But Predator had put together and assembled like the most awesome, larger than life collection of badasses, like in one place, like than had ever been seen before. Like and each one unique and different from the next, but equally badass with their own particular look and personality and memorability. And there's just no way that you could when I think of Predator, like that's what I think of the most, like just the awesomeness of that team. Like that's it's one of the hallmarks of the film. So I feel no matter what they try to do with other Predator films and the Alien Predator crossover stuff, it's just like. It's the badassness, like that made that so. And to me, I feel like that's not something that could be recaptured because, like, even the action performers today that are bigger and muscular, it's just it doesn't. And it's not me just saying poo poo because I'm older and that's what I liked when I was a kid. I feel like the badassness is just
back
not
the
same anymore. And yeah, but it's just like the badassness is just not the same.
Your pussy's
actually,
what you did,
as
what
you
did right there.
Your pussy's
you
as big as a house.
You hit the nail on the head right there. And you know why, man? Because, yes, that cast that they assembled for that film, you know, again, obviously Arnold, huge star. But the rest of that cast, for the most part, you know, except for Apollo Creed, you know, they were kind of just background and side characters in other action films. But they all were completely badass with their own personalities. And what made that awesome was the fact is we saw them and were like, wow, look at these guys. They kick ass. They would fuck anybody up. That's what made the Predator all the more impressive because he was capable of taking them down. You know, so for him to do that meant holy shit. So for Dutch to take him down at the end of the damn movie – well, hello. I mean, that's what made that first film the most impressive of the bunch. You're not going to get another collection of guys like that. You're never going to get another fucking assembly of badassness that makes that Predator now as impressive because of what he's doing. That's why all the future sequels, all the ones that followed, it was about the technology. It was about this. Oh, well, we're going to give them fucking dogs that are going to chase them. Oh, we're going to stick them on another planet now. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Like I said, the only one that I really enjoyed was Predators, and that's just because of the flip. You know, you're sticking them on another planet, and you're kind of showing that the Predators themselves can sometimes be resourceful.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not saying that the Predator is better than Predator. It's not. It's never going to be as good as Predator. I liked it because it was fun. That's all I wanted to have was some fun. I didn't like Predators. I thought it was an okay movie, but like Shane Black coming back to do the Predator, I thought he brought the fun back that I wanted, and just having the comedy, having action, having the horror, I was there for it. But it's never going to top Predator. Like nothing can, and that's why that will always be the entry. And that's it.
They said that you know, just even the stories from that team, you know, getting ready for Predator on set, like that there was just like and shit on set, and like there it was just constant one upsmanship and lifting and who could lift more weight and like racing to get to like the weightlifting equipment to be like the first one there in the morning. That Jesse Ventura and Arnold had like a bicep off about who had bigger muscles, and Jesse thought it was him, but like Arnold had, like, the person doing the wardrobe, like, tell him, like, a phony number for his bicep, and then when Ventura told them to, like, bet who had the bigger muscles, like, Arnold won because he had, like, faked out Ventura. Like, there's just so many great stories about the complete and total, like, preparations that went into that just, it colors it when you watch the film to me, because you see how just fucking jacked and awesome those guys were.
Well, that, and then also, don't forget, you've got the Native American dude that was also on the set that was constantly getting in bar fights with the locals, you know, and they had to sit there and restrain him on set.
One fight I wish we got to see.
That's
Billy versus the
Predator,
amazing.
Man. Sonny Landham, rest his soul, he passed away a few years ago. But, yeah, Sonny Landham was badass. He played also one of my most favorite, underrated Stallone films is Lock Up, and he played Chick Webber, the inmate that, you know,
that's
Stallone was, Lock Up. Was like his inmate. What's that?
I said, hell yeah, Lock Up. Yeah, I saw that in the movie.
Yeah, Lock Up's fantastic. And, yeah, Sonny Landham played Stallone's inmate nemesis in that film, and was just like badass in that also. So yeah, that's some crazy dude right there.
Awesome. All right, what do you have next?
All right, moving on. So many of you, including so many of my hosts, love Marvel so much, but on the other side of the comic world, it's been finally officially confirmed that Michael Keaton is going to be stepping back into the role of Bruce Wayne / Batman
to
take part in the Flash film that is currently in production. It's been long rumored that Keaton was going to return to the Bat. But as recently as a month or so ago, talking about it, kind of disappointed fans by saying, hey, look, I'm not attached or signed on to anything right now. And lo and behold, ultimately, he did sign on. He had said that he had been staying away from every possible offer and film project because of COVID and just, like, hiding out on his property that was, like, kind of secluded from everything. But he is getting back to work. The Flash film is in production, and Michael Keaton will once again become Bruce Wayne and Batman, and that film has a current release date of November 4th, 2022. So if you are looking forward to a Michael Keaton Batman, you will once again have your chance to see him play this iconic character.
Cool. Dean, speaking of comic books, where are you on The Boys now? Have you started season 2 yet?
I have yet to start season 2. It's certainly high up on my list. It's even possible that I will start watching it tonight. There were some other things that I wanted to get to with my viewing time. I needed to get up to date on Mighty Ducks Game Changers. I did get up to date on The Walking Dead. I said that last week as I was talking about over the weekend on our chat, and then today a little bit with The King. I did take the plunge and watch and rent Nobody. So there were some other things that stepped in its way, but I'm ready. I think my slate is clean, and I'm ready to re-enter the world of The Boys. So I might do that tonight.
All right, cool. Just asking. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
So here's a quick question. Okay, so I mean, one, obviously Keaton coming back is Flashpoint. They're going to go alternative universe type of deal. We know Flash is going to get into some trouble.
Oh, fun.
Can't wait for it. But passing that by. Non-spoiler, Nobody, yes or no?
Haven't seen it yet.
Dean? No, Dean and I.
Oh, you're asking, you're saying should you watch it, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I say yes. I say yes to watching it.
Okay. Well, I mean, was it entertaining? Like, should I be paying $20 to watch it?
I would say take the plunge. I would. Me personally, I would say take the plunge. I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it throughout its flaws and stuff like that. I think I'll have a lot of fun. That's just my opinion. Spoiler free. Just go into it and have a good time. But, you know, it's worth it, I think.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
It's hard not to give spoilers.
Thank you.
I
agree. Yeah, you said no spoilers, but I agree with the King of Horror. Yes, I would say take the plunge.
Take the plunge. Going to take the plunge.
Well, some of us haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Monkey will find a way to steal it eventually.
Already have.
See?
Ahoy!
Good to go.
Avast me hotties, yo-ho, yo-ho.
All right, so what's next, dude?
Rob Zombie, everyone's favorite Halloween director.
Directing a remake of The Wizard of Oz.
No, not The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, shit.
Not The Wizard of Oz. But apparently, he is working on rebooting the classic series, The Munsters, as a feature film. And rumor has it that this is going to be a Peacock Plus exclusive in a similar manner to the HBO Max deal, that it's going to be a Peacock Plus exclusive that is a day and date release in which it will hit the streaming service and the theaters on the same day. That's just a rumor at this point. There is no release date or any kind of casting information. There's very, very little information out there, but apparently that is something that is in the works.
$50 says he moves the Munsters to a trailer and his wife plays Lily Munster.
It's going to be a lot of women's soundtrack. Where the fuck are you, Lily? Get your pants.
Yeah. And Lily's an alcoholic mom. She does lots of drugs. There's all kinds of issues going on in the family.
Yep.
Because Rob Zombie can only do one.
And
it's going to be set in the
70s.
It's going to be set in the 70s as well.
Yeah. In a trailer park.
Exactly.
What was that? What did you say?
That's what the monkey let it off with, though. He was like, it's like the perfect 420. But yes, I don't know, man. Leave the shit alone. That's what I have to say, man. You know, I don't mind Rob. I don't, you know, and I know he loves horror. I know he loves classic TV. You know, he's like a fucking trailer trash version of Tarantino, man. He's got this love and appreciation for all of this stuff, but he's constantly, like, remaking stuff and reimagining stuff. Yeah, give us something of your own volition, man. Like, you know, like, leave the Munsters alone. That's just, like, I don't want to see anybody remaking The Honeymooners. You know, I don't want to see anybody trying to remake The Jeffersons and stuff like that. Just leave the damn show alone, and that's that.
Yeah, if anything, okay. Rob Zombie, back in the day, wrote a really fun comic book miniseries called The Nail, about a white trash professional wrestler that was going around fighting monsters and shit like that. Why doesn't he fucking turn that project into a film instead of these constant rewrites that he's
like
got
fun.
That story. Yeah, he's got that story that's, you know, fucking done. It's printed, you know, and, you know, he doesn't fucking go back and touch that story. Instead, like you said, he's going back and trying to rewrite history, and it's like, fucking leave it alone. You've got your own stories, man. You can write your own shit.
Didn't they try to redo the Munsters in like the 90s or something?
But then there was also that one shot that they did like 10 years ago, and it was just a one shot movie that they did.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there was a reboot in the 90s with the Munsters, but then there was that.
There was the live Munsters today.
Yeah, that one. I don't think it ever
Munsters
aired.
Today.
That's it. Munsters Today. But then there was 1313 Mockingbird Lane with Jerry O'Connell playing Herman Munster. that he wasn't a Frankenstein creature. He was just himself wearing a smoking jacket, and that never really got to air, but it was supposed to be on NBC. I want to say, like, 2013, 2014.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, no, that never made it to air. So.
How was he Herman Munster, but not a monster?
You could find screenshots online, and it looked fucking terrible. He was not a monster. He was just a very small guy in a smoking jacket playing Herman Munster. It was, everybody said no, collectively, in the horror community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I never really made it to air, because they're like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, the Munsters are supposed to be monsters, with Willie Munster being the only human in the entire, Marilyn Munster, but still, never made it there. But, you know, Rob Zombie, he loves the monsters, so I get it. You know, even in House of Thousand Corpses, like, he had all those tributes to the monsters with Dracula and things like that, so he would be the choice, but it's just, it's going to be in the 70s, and it's going to be white trash. And Sid Haig isn't alive anymore, so he can't get him, so I can't even imagine who would get him. Bill Moses,
he would dig some. He would dig someone out, man. He does. Tarantino does.
Go back.
He digs out somebody from the old days that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, Tarantino's different because he does original stuff. He does, you know, remake stuff. He just makes stuff. I could press the Tarantino that way.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
agree with you, man.
Yes, this stuff might be original, but at the same time, too, it's also always a play on something else. You know, he's taking a concept from another source and then reworking it to fit, you know, whatever narrative he's working into it.
Oh, I completely agree, but it's not like he's saying, you know what, it's happening with a great show. I'm going to remake What's Happening, you know, and put it on Peacock. Like, no, he's not doing that. You know, he's just taking what he loves and making it into his own thing. I mean, he's always had that 70s expertise. I might look into that. He's going to make What's Happening. Yeah, make it a weird, you know, exploitation, you know, type of theory. But who knows? But no. Tarantino, he doesn't touch it. Yeah.
The King has a great point, though, of Tarantino loves what he loves, and he sits there like borrows from those things that he loves, but then he goes and writes his own story, you know, while at the same time going, you know exactly where I'm coming from here. I'm going to give you these references so you can follow along with me while I'm sitting there giving you a new tale, but this is the stuff that inspired me along the way. While Rob Zombie, like you said, is just there just trying to rebrand.
And his version of Halloween was on Sci-Fi the other day, and I tried to watch it. I had to shut it off after a half hour. After all this time, I thought maybe I would see something that I might like, and, like, you know what, it's not that bad. No, it's just fucking terrible. He can't get out of that whole 70s white trash trailer park vibe. I wish he would. I wish he would just explore other decades. Like, there are other decades, Rob, the 90s, the 80s.
Man, I, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm just doing some reading about this Munsters Today, and this was on for a long time. They broadcast 73 episodes of that show.
Wow.
Jeez.
What?
In syndication over three seasons, 73 episodes from October 1988 to May of 1991. It had more first-run episodes than the original series. Yeah.
That's a solid one. And I don't think
lots of special guests on that show, including Jonathan Brandeis, Dr. Joyce Brothers, Dustin Diamond, rest his soul. Zsa Zsa
Gabor.
Jonathan
Brandeis, too, man, RIP.
Yeah, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yeah. And Richard Mole, Pat Morita, Donnie Most, Eddie Mecca, Billy Barty, a lot of special guests on the Munsters Today. So I'm surprised to see how many episodes there were. I feel like I don't remember it.
I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember it lasting that long.
But there you have it. It was a syndication show. So, but still,
what years did it run?
I said it ran from 1988 to 1991.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Season 1, 88, 89. Season 2, 89, 90. Season 3, 1990 to 1991.
I feel like I remember seeing that, though, on syndication when I was a kid. I could be wrong, but I have weird kind of flashbacks to that. And then when I said about the Addams Family, they have movies, but they never really had a TV, you know, rebirth. They just had those two movies, which, you know, the first one's great, the second one's not so much. But, you know, it was great to see that kind of thing.
Well, but you did have the animated series that they tried to bring back for two seasons after the first Addams Family movie, so you had that.
They did have the animated series. I do remember that. But, yeah, like, the first one was always my favorite. The Addams Family Values is not so much. But, yeah, I'm always an Addams Family guy. I was never another Munster. Always loved Addams Family. Mm-hmm. I thought the better of the shows. Kind of related to the characters.
Well, you know, but it's like, you know, it's like trying to compare Three Stooges to the Marx Brothers when you're trying to compare the two. You know, one is a little bit more slapstick in your face while one is a little bit more witty.
We may not have had access to it, Dean. Well, you might have. I didn't in New York because, one, I didn't have cable. But I'm looking at the stations that the show aired on, and there's nothing in the New York, New Jersey area. Philadelphia was the closest on Channel 29.
Hmm. Well, we might have gotten a signal from Philly, though.
You exactly. Yeah, I didn't live in New Jersey. I didn't live in New Jersey at the time. I was in New York still, so definitely. And I didn't have cable, so I definitely didn't have any channels other than what they were broadcasting over the waves.
Some of those old shows. You know, see if I can remember any of them. It definitely sounds familiar. One of those things where you have those flashes of watching those old shows back in the day. But, all right, so what else do you have, Dean?
Moving on from the Munsters, we're going to move to... another, not nearly as old, but another old favorite. We have talked about Gremlins so many times on this show, and we have talked about how there's going to be an HBO Max sequence of the Mogwai animated show that's coming later this year. And I know that I had said in our discussions about this that I wouldn't be surprised if all of this Gremlins chatter and projects are going to lead to another feature film. And it seems that screenwriter Carl Ellsworth has already written the script for a Gremlins 3 feature film. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. It might be in a wait-and-see mode. But apparently, Gremlins 3 is written, and the screenwriter Carl Ellsworth said that he's bringing Gremlins back to its horror roots, meaning that at the end of the day, this story is about little cold-blooded murderers that are killing everybody. He said that he worked to preserve the humor. He definitely wanted to work to and did preserve the humor, but at the same time, was making sure that he was truly working on writing a horror movie. So, of course, there's no start date, no release date, or any information like that. And, we might not hear anything about that until after we see how The Secrets of the Mogwai is received on HBO Max.
Eventually.
So, but there you have it, some Gremlins 3 information there for you to digest and think about when you
Thank
play yourself down to sleep tonight. You're welcome.
I'll think about that tonight.
I love the Gremlins.
Yeah,
it's one of the few. I would love to see a continuation of that series, man. You know, like it's one of the ones that, it's. I don't know if I want it to be a full on remake, reboot, whatever they do, or if it's just going to stay within the continuity. Like, I feel like staying within the continuity and just letting this be like a. You know, the Gremlins existing all over the world. You know, we know what we've seen with Gizmo and company in our New York area.
Mogwai.
But, you know, let's bring these things worldwide, man.
And should we ignore the second movie and again just do like everyone else is doing and continue from the first?
No, I don't.
Why would you ignore the second movie?
Well, I was just asking, man. I was asking your opinion because, again, that seems to be the popular opinion amongst Hollywood right now is if you're going to sit there and do projects, we ignore all the sequels and we only base continuations off the first one. So that's why I was asking your opinion.
My only reason for not doing that is just because it's a direct sequel. I mean, it's the same characters, you know what I mean? It's not like one of those cases where, like, let's say A Nightmare on Elm Street, in which you've had multiple sequels that went all over the place, changing continuity, you know, changing the entire pathos of the characters. Like, you know, Gremlins 1 and Gremlins 2 are very much related films.
Yeah, and the ghoul is right there in that there's not – you know, seven other films that have been made over the last 20 years that alter timelines and mythology and story, like some of those other long-running series where they've made the decision, like, let's just scrap this massive amount of material and continue from the base. Like, Gremlins does have just of the two films that are, like, direct one, well, Gremlins 2 is a direct sequel. Like, Halloween original, like, Halloween 2 is a direct sequel, but then you have 3, 4, 5, 6, and all the other offshoots and remakes, and, you know, the 2018 team was like, let's just scrap it and start back from the beginning. The same way with, like, the upcoming Texas Chainsaw film, which is going to do away with everything that came after that. So, I mean, it makes sense to a degree. You know, I feel sure there are, I'm sure, ideas that they can come up with that would make a new Gremlins 2. But yeah, I feel like the two Gremlins films are completely linked together. Because there are just those two films. If there's nine Gremlin films, then I'd be like, all right, maybe we'll make a direct sequel to the original because that's all the rage right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
cool.
Very true. And like you said about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that did get an R-rated rating this week. And also, it's going to be called Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, thank God.
It's following that trend of Halloween where it's like, yep, let's just call it what it is. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, we're getting in 2022. So it's like, yeah, you know what? We don't want to have a title. We're just going to call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And it's going to be
if they had any creativity, yeah, man, they could have called it A Massacre in Texas with Chainsaws.
That's a lot for a poster. Chainsaw Massacre in Texas, rated R. Yeah, that's a lot for a poster. You know, but, you know, hey, listen, I would be for call it something else. I mean, they called Texas Chainsaw 3D, Texas Chainsaw, and that was fine, but just to go back and call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's like, well, obviously you're starting fresh, even though we had it in 2013, but I don't know. Again, I'm protective of that guy.
Big chainsaws in little Texas?
Ooh, I like that. The best little chainsaw massacre in Texas?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Dolly Parton chasing someone around with a chainsaw. Get out of my theme park. Get out of my theme park.
You could have her sing the theme song instead of Jolene. Leatherface. It would be a hit. So, yeah, we have that. But, all right, Dean, so what's next?
So, I know that some of you are excited for the upcoming Mortal Kombat film.
Fuck yes.
And what? Oh,
this
wow.
Friday.
Look at the excitement. Look at the excitement that is filling up our
2 days away,
podcast.
Man. 2 days away.
It comes out this Friday?
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah. Kidding me? I'm excited for Friday. I've got the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier. I've got the next episode of Mighty Ducks Game Changers and the Mortal Kombat movie.
That's a lot. That is a big Friday in the Ghoul household.
My balls are swole.
Well, they might be a little bit more swole because I am seeing that one of the co-writers named Greg Russo has said that this Mortal Kombat film is the first chapter of a trilogy of Mortal Kombat films, and that the two sequels are already planned out.
Listen,
why are you so upset, Marky?
Just one movie at a time. one movie at a time. Because you know what? And I'm kind of with the monkey here, because what that worries me with is, are we going to get a cliffhanger type of ending? Because the idea is it's going to be a fucking trilogy.
Exactly, no, man. It's like, no, I'm with the ghoul here with where is like, no offense, Dean. I appreciate you doing your job reporting the news. I wish I had not just heard this news, because I would have liked to have just gone into this movie blind. It's like, and not knowing the possible future of them sitting there saying, now it's going to be a trilogy. So now, like the ghoul said, we have a possible cliffhanger.
Well, excuse me for living.
God dang it, man.
I just don't want to see something with what we saw with the Matrix sequel.
Right. Guess what?
You know,
that was my prank for the evening. That was my prank for the evening. That's not actually a true story.
Oh, you
not
dick.
Though, but
it's not a prank. It's just the truth.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, hey.
Come on, you know that every week on this show, one of the stories that I share is a phony story. That's been my long-running gag. You all know that. And this week, that was my
Waka
story.
Waka.
Is that really going to ruin the movie for you, though? Are you going to watch more time in front and be like, oh, this fucking cliffhanger, I'm upset. No, I'm going to fucking love it. And I'm going to go, you know what, cliffhanger? You know what? That makes me want the second one. Bring it on when it comes. Like, I'm not going to be upset. Like, you guys have never seen a cliffhanger movie in your goddamn life. We have them. Halloween and the cliffhanger ending. No, the 1978.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, okay, but that's the thing. That's one of the things that sucked balls about the 2018 Halloween film. You know, this idea that it was originally supposed to be a direct film with a direct ending, and that's the end of it. But no, what did it do? It turned into sequels. You know, now, like, I just don't want to see that again. It's not going to ruin the film for me. Don't get me wrong. I'm still going to enjoy the film, but I just hope that the director made a movie that can stand on its own without the necessity of seeing follow-up films, especially if it falls through and those films don't get made.
Yeah, that's the point, man.
That's my worry more than anything else.
Ghoul and I are both on the same page here, where we're going, we're looking at you, fucking M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar, going. All right?
I think they already know it's hit in their hands. I think they already know. So that's why they're moving forward with it. I mean, that I don't blame them, because from the trailers and everything like that, the hype that's surrounding that, they know that they have a hit. They know a part two is inevitable. Part three after that, depending on how good part two is. That's the problem. If part two sucks, you're probably not going to get a part three. I mean, look at Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I did. I put it on to go to bed too last night, man. I barely made it out of like the pre-film portion of it. I forgot I haven't seen that since watching it in the Chinese theater in New York. I forgot how bad that
was. With Ajax as Raiden.
Was Ryu in it?
Ryu? No.
Yeah, what about Akuma?
James.
That's Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, motherfucker. But yeah, everything from like the backgrounds for the very start of the film, everything is just so horribly fucking rendered, man. It was like, damn, dude. Green screen city. And they were not trying to hide it, like, at all. Or they didn't have any money to hide it. One or the other.
No. And then when it wasn't that, it was just rubble piled up high with a bunch of 55-gallon drums set on fire. That was always the background. Remember, dude?
Yep.
The scenes of the ninja, the outworld ninjas all jumping into the fray at the beginning. It was like something as bad as what you saw in Power Rangers.
Yeah, dude. I was just upset as you were, but I did not take a road trip to New York for it.
Yeah, like I said, man, I haven't seen that shit since the 90s, so stayed away from it for a reason.
Yeah, no, good reason. Yeah. And speaking about Halloween, I'll have to send you guys the link later on in the show. But there's a YouTube edit that came out earlier this week about Tony Moran, who played Michael Myers on Mad in Halloween 1978, where he basically just trashes the fans and the movie and John Carpenter. And it is amazing to watch because he really gives zero fucks about the fans, about that movie, about John Carpenter, where he's like, yeah. He's like, this asshole little kid came up to me asking for an autograph. He's like, I was only in fucking 10 seconds of the movie. The kid's an asshole. And all these comments, oh, he's such an asshole. But he's not wrong.
Wow.
He was only in fucking to that movie. You know, if you want an autograph, he'll give it to you, but you're going to pay. I met him twice, once with a ghoul, and he was fine. You know, he laughed it off, and, you know, he had a good time with it. But this supercut of him being an asshole to the fans, saying how Halloween's a piece of shit movie, it's amazing. It's like, yeah, that's what you're here for, though. You're making your money because of that movie.
We had a good time hanging out with him at the 1NJ HorrorCon, man. I mean, we literally spent the majority of the weekend chilling with him in multiple occasions. So we didn't have a problem.
And I've had good times both times that I met him. But these supercuts of him saying, you know, listen, I was only in the movie for fucking 10 seconds. You want an autograph? Fine. But you're an asshole. You're a fucking nerd. Like, Halloween sucks. Like, he told about how his girlfriend had to force him to go see the movie back in 78 when it came out. He's like, I want to go see that piece of shit movie. Halloween's stupid. He got dragged to go see it. He didn't care for it. But the comments, though, of these fans going, he's an asshole. I hate him. What a piece of shit. I'm like, well, no, I probably had the same reaction as Tony Moran. Dude, I was in 10 seconds of that movie. You saw my face, and then I was out.
It's probably one of those things where it's like, okay, for years, you know, he's been promoted as the face of Michael Myers. He was Michael Myers. But then he gets the fans that sit there and bitch at him for the fact that he was only in a short period of time in the film. He really isn't Michael Myers. You know, he's just that face because he had the face of an angel, you know, which he will go on to tell you about. When you do hang out and talk with them. So after hearing that for years and years, that, you know, from the fucking fans of, well, you're not really Michael, you're not really Michael, you're not really Michael. Now he's finally like, you know what, guys, you're assholes, you're right. I'm not fucking Michael, so stop fucking coming up to me. Stop fucking asking me these questions. You can't win. He can't fucking win if he tried at this point with it.
And the best part, and you'll see, in the video I posted on our group chat, is where he calls Tyler Mane a cocksucker for being Michael Myers in the Rob Zombie movies. He's like, because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be Michael Myers. He's my cocksucker. He's my bitch. And I told him that at a convention. And I said, he's my cocksucker. And he never came over.
Like,
he's not even a fan. I love him, too. But Tyler, the fact that
nice.
Tony Moran was just the whole thing. I was like, Tyler Mane would kick your fucking ass, dude. Like, are you kidding me? He would destroy
big
you.
Dude.
Yeah, he's like, if it wasn't for me, he would be. He's my cocksucker. Because if it wasn't for me, he wouldn't be Michael Myers. Because I'm technically Michael Myers too. And if it wasn't for me in that movie, he wouldn't have to be Michael Myers. So, it's amazing. I put the video in the group chat, so check it out. But Dean, do you have anything else before we get into the movie tonight?
I do.
And all right, let's go.
Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, however you pronounce her name, are
Farmiga.
Farmiga are reprising their roles as the Warrens in the upcoming Conjuring Devil Made Me Do It film, which will hit theaters and HBO Max on the same day, June 4th. And they have both said that they want to do more sequels. They said they want to continue to push these characters. They said that there's already talks of continuing, but they have more stories to tell. So they are on board for as many things in the Conjuring world as they can crank out to their audience.
We lack money.
Fuck that. And the Conjuring universe. Seriously, shut that motherfucker down. Burn it to the ground. I'm so fucking tired of the Conjuring universe.
Okay. I mean, the whole Conjuring universe thing, that I'm good with, you know. But, like, I've enjoyed, for the most part, the actual Conjuring films. I haven't hated those. You know, it's the outside stuff that I've been
you know, very, very leery of, with pretty much only Annabelle Creation being the only film out of all of the other movies that I've enjoyed.
So many little fucking movies. Fucking doll. You know. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm good on the Conjuring series. You know my thoughts about those characters, so. But again,
you love it. You love Ed and Lorraine, dude. That's the thing. You're the biggest fan, so. Good people.
Oh, yeah.
Good, good people. Good souls.
Good people. Good souls.
Yeah, they care. Their clients sure did. Yeah, wrote books about them. Yeah, but they're fun throwaway movies. That's all I think about those movies. They're just fun to throw away and put on when you got to fall asleep.
It's fun to throw them away.
That's exactly what I think about them. They're fun movies to fall asleep to, but they still pay attention to big stuff. Because that's not the actual story. That's what they want you to think. That Ed and Lorraine cared about any of the clients that they had. Nope. They were just like, how can we make money off of this? Say, Satan is here. I can't wait for you devil. I can't wait for that movie because that fucking story, the real story, is a lot more scary than what they said happened. It's just a guy killing people in Connecticut. He was a monster. But they're like, no, Satan was there. And he was like, ah, hell, Satan. And he was like, I got to kill now, guys. Let the devil maybe do it. So I can't wait to see the Warren for the shit on.
So is that what this one is supposed to be about? Like, is this going to be based on that story, guys, that you know of?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're gonna get an alternate spin on the Warrens? Or is this still going to be Kissing the Warren Death because it's still a Conjuring movie?
We are going to get the Conjuring spin. We're going to get the
Conjuring spin. Yeah, this is a Conjuring movie. Them. So, I mean, they're the heroes of the film. You know, plain and simple.
Yeah. We're not going to get the real story about how they just sat in the jail cell with this guy and they're like, ooh, tell me more. Tell me more about the hell the devil needs to do it. Ooh, this is scary shit. This is going to sell a lot of books. We're not going to get that movie. We're going to, oh, shit, the devil's here. We have to count back in hell.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, though, is with all this shit going on, why doesn't someone go along and then sit there and make a movie like you're talking about, King, about, hey, we're going to tell the real stories behind the Conjuring universe.
Because it wouldn't be interesting. They would watch it.
They do.
It would be so good.
There's a thousand of them, though, man. The haunting of this, the freaking, you know, the fucking boo-boo-fop of that. You know, the
haunting of what of that?
The boo-boo-fa-fa. You know what I mean? I'm just making up fucking words as I go along, man.
The
they can't use is the fa-fa. I don't know. Some dude I used to know from Brooklyn. He's bald. He looked like fucking what's-his-face from the Hills of Eyes, man. Michael Berryman. That's what Fafa looked like. anyway. Fafa Fooey. Obviously, are the fucking other names, you know, Ed and Lorraine. But, you know, those stories, they're told a dime a dozen, you know, based on a true story, based on real events. Maybe they changed the names, the location, shit like that. But believe me, you've seen every single fucking low-budget version of those true events. See, just like that. I'm going to watch Fufa later. I'm going to put on the fucking haunting of Mama Fufa.
I mean, The Conjuring 2, about the Enfield Poltergeist, they turned a weekend that the Warren spent at that house into a fucking 90-minute movie.
There's other films on the Enfield Haunting. You know what I mean? So there are other movies that have done that story. That was my main point.
Monkey.
But that's what I was trying to figure out is have people try to put movies out there to discredit the Warrens for what they've been trying to do all these years.
No.
Well, I mean,
no discrediting. Even the most low-budget ones, like on Discovery, like A Haunting, when they talk about the Warrens, there's so much reverence for those two, where it's like, yeah, they were here, and they found stuff, and they are the experts. There's not a single one out there where it's like, you guys are fucking frauds, dude. Like, they are just carnies that just make smoke and mirrors happen out of nothing. That's what I would like to see, but again, that would be boring. People don't want to watch that. People want to see
I don't
ghosts
think...
and demons.
I think that's the bigger thing with it. You know what I mean? You might get people that come up and they'll say that, you know, hey, you know, maybe they weren't necessarily all that honest and whatnot. But for any particular person, specifically somebody connected to the either horror film community or the supernatural, you know, fucking ghost hunter community or whatever, to kind of just upright sit there and be like, those guys are frauds, it will then beg to question everything that they're doing as well. You know, that's the problem. You're dealing with something that is intangible. We really don't have stuff that detects ghosts. I don't care who the fuck is out there on Discovery fucking Plus doing some ghost hunter shit with their little fucking beep boop blop blop fucking machine where it's saying, yeah, this thing is telling me there's a fucking ghostly entity right here, man. You know, it's just like the one thing we bought from a freaking a place over in like New Hope or Jim Thorpe the one time, you know, and it's supposed to detect paranormal fucking entities. Listen, man, all it does is read electromagnetic current. So if you bring it by a light source, guess what it does? It fucking beeps a lot. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they do, you know, and there are people that fall for it. And, you know, I'm not making fun of those people. People are entitled to believe what they want as far as those things go. I just think it comes into lawsuit territory if there are people that are going to come up there and be like, those people are completely 100% lying about everything that they possibly might have done. Because you know what?
Liar.
No way to prove that they didn't do it either.
Good point.
All right. And just finally, a couple of Netflix notes with an interesting little nugget mixed in. One, a
lot of money. That's what they did.
Finn Wolfhard says that Stranger Things 4, while on a video call, said that he's hoping that it – he said that it should be out sometime next year, hopefully. The latest update
they're making it.
Season 4 of Stranger Things. And then Netflix dropped
some
other news. Go ahead.
No. I think you're going to say it now.
Yes, so Netflix dropped some other news. They said that, you know, because of COVID, with their programming, they've had all kinds of production delays with lots of their different properties and shows. But they said coming later this year in the fourth quarter of 2021 that there will be new seasons of The Witcher, something called You, and also the first season that has been specifically produced for Netflix, season 4 of Cobra Kai. Will also hit later this year in the fourth quarter of 2021. And that's great, exciting news, but I have to say, and even though this might mean, like, waiting a couple of months longer, I really, really, really dug, like, the New Year's Day release, and I really kind of was hoping that maybe, like, that would become a thing, because, like, that's one day where I am just, like, laying on the fucking couch all day, and that's all I'm interested in doing. And that was just perfect. I watched the whole fucking thing. It was fantastic. It was a great way to spend New Year's Day. And I would just, you know, I was hoping it would be the same case for next year. But, you know, if it comes earlier, great. You know, I'm not going to be complaining about a chance to get to see it. But anyway, that's my thought on it.
The one thing I was going to add for Netflix is the I don't know if you guys heard about it. They're upping the amount of money they're going to be spending on films and series and whatnot. Like they're, and I'm talking like a big jump. I guess they spent somewhere around $13 billion last year. They're going up to like $18 billion as far as like what they're going to be spending.
Well,
So yeah, they're sinking it. And supposedly, what I've heard is that kind of worried some of their investors, and there was a pretty heavy duty drop in the stock afterwards. So I guess, you know, people are worried that they're going to be blowing their money, but I don't know. Netflix, delays or not, the one thing I will give them is that when they do finally get these series out, they tend to have that quality that I do enjoy. You know, like I'm looking forward to The Witcher. I'm looking forward to eventually, you know, getting to watch season 4 of Stranger Things.
And I'm looking forward to You, because I'm a fan of You. So I'm looking forward to that coming back.
I'm a fan of you, too.
I am. It's a great show. I mean, if you guys haven't checked it out yet, I think you guys would like it.
Oh, I thought you meant you.
Weird... No, not you, the Netflix show. But I think you guys might like it.
I've never seen you because I'm too busy with me. Narcissist, remember?
Flexing in the mirror while he's tapping that ass.
Flexing, you're damn right.
Is that all you got, Dean?
That is the final item on my list for this evening.
All right, so let's get into the film for tonight, Evil Bong 420 from 2015, loosely directed by Charles Band. Ghoul, this is your pick. Let's just kind of wrap up the
episode. Take it away.
Now listen, in complete stoner fashion, man, I totally forgot what I fucking watched. listen, man. You know, obviously this is one of those 420 fun fucking gag style picks. Okay, what I will do is I'll say this much. Okay, the movie's about a dude who opens a bowling alley that shows lots of titties. There is a bong, there's a ginger dead man, and Ooga Booga showed up, okay, which that I found fun. And aside from that, that's about it. There really wasn't much as far as a fucking plot or really a story or actual death occurring. So this felt more like a TV series than it did a fucking movie. My thoughts are it was better than the first movie as far as like my memory serves because I watched this one.
It was shorter. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't 86 minutes like the other ones were. This was a nice tight 50-minute movie.
Okay, so again, the first one is the only one that I had seen prior to this. From what I remember, that was roughly filmed. You know, like the quality of the picture was like shitty, and like I feel like they've obviously upped their game. They must have enough people like watching this series and enjoying it to where they were like, hey, we're going to spend a little bit of money. You know, the camera work is better. You know, the acting is the acting. I mean, look, it's the same as when you see a Puppet Master or any other movie from these guys.
All right, Dean, what did you think of this movie, man?
I mean, look, we all know
what
we're getting here, and I have not seen any of the other films in the Evil Bong series. I know that I have teased making these films my choices at time in our show's history. In fact, I think one time I teased that like my next six picks were going to be every film in the series, but I didn't do that because, truthfully, I didn't want to watch all of those either. But with that being said, like, this is just absurdity. But I applaud the filmmakers and the creators because you know, they had a vision. They had a vision, and they made their dreams come true, and brought this cinematic universe, you know, to the screen. You know, there are big-time film studios with big-time film monster properties that have been trying to get their own monster universe back to the big screen with established characters that are beloved by gajillions across the globe, and they haven't been able to make it work. But here,
we're looking
at UCC
universe and fucking universal monsters.
Yeah. Here in this very small world, weed world,
very
as
small.
I learned they call
very,
it
very
in
small.
This film. They were able to get this out there to the world. Now, we're talking about a film that's 53 minutes long. You know, having not seen the predecessors, you know, I don't know where we come in this long running story, but look, here we have it. Lots of weed, a tremendous amount of boobs, and yes, a welcome and delightful appearance Very brief appearance. I was hoping for more of him by Ooga Booga. And, you know, like I'm watching this and like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And no, this is not a good film by any stretch, but like, I kind of enjoy it. Like, I just enjoy the absurdity, you know, that like people got this shit to the screen, you know, and I kind of appreciate that. And, you know, so there you have it. I mean, what the fucking full moon creature features, it's its own special thing.
Mucky, what do you think of Longboard 20?
All right, this was the first Evil Bong movie I saw. I was kind of upset that we're going here like we did with Twilight, where again the ghoul's gonna pick something in the middle of a fucking saga, if we even want to call this a saga.
Call that a saga? You're
worried about the saga? You're worried about the saga here, buddy.
Well, the thing is, about 15 minutes into it, I realized I'm good. I figured out the saga. There is no saga. But it's like, dude, I gotta admit, man, I was fucking upset, man. It's like, we have a movie called Evil Bong 420, all right? And not once do we see anyone smoking a fucking bong in this entire movie.
What are you talking about, dude? He had that super fucking bong. The weed whacker thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bong.
It's not a bong. She's the bong.
It wasn't a bong. It wasn't a bong, all right? Therefore, no one was smoking a bong in Evil Bong. It's like, on top of that, it's like, I watched the TV show Resident Alien, okay? The last episode that I just watched on Resident Alien, there was more time of them hanging out, smoking pot through a bong and shit like that in a bowling alley, no less, than there was in this entire movie. And there was more in fucking Resident Alien than there was in this movie.
We could say the same for Nice and Bad Aston, which was supposed to be your 420 pick last week.
A better movie.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, but it's not calling the Evil Bong, man. It's like it was Nice and Bad Aston. This is supposed to be like a fucking deep hot movie, and it's just the amount of split time was super short. I was just upset, man. I was expecting way more, and it's just I don't know, man. It's like, I just don't know how a movie actually bored me with seeing boobs. It's just like, every time you saw a chick walk up on into this movie, you know she was going to show her tits. That was it, man. It's like, I was just upset. I just wasn't getting the vibe of this movie, man. It's just, every time we saw a woman, we knew she was going to show her tits. And I laughed out loud.
That's always a good thing.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I was upset because I was like drunk as fuck while I was drunk as fuck while watching this movie, man. And it's just, I only laughed out loud literally once, and that was with Ginger Dead Man doing his thing. Other than that, man, it's like, it was just a thing of, I just didn't feel like I was in the fucking joke. And it's just, I don't know if it was because I wasn't stoned enough or because, again, it's full moon trying to do what they try to do, and it's just, to me, the entire movie just felt like a forced joke.
I think your expectations were just way too high, man.
Maybe I wasn't high.
Well, that definitely fucking helps, okay? I mean, listen, like I said, the first time I watched, you know, the first movie, I had smoked, and figuring that, you know, that's the way to go to watch the film. It didn't help. But, you know, again, I'm going to go back and actually watch these films now because I am interested in seeing how they got to this point. And more importantly, I do want to see where this movie goes because it's obviously going directly into the fifth film. You know,
Let's go to King. Before we get too into it, let's get his opinion on the film.
As someone who has seen all the Evil Bong movies up until the eighth film, Evil Bong 77, which takes place in Vegas. So, yes, I have seen all the Evil Bong movies in their entirety because I'm a completionist, and that's the way I feel about those movies. I have to watch all of them in their completion. And they're all 86 minutes apiece. This is the shortest one because it's a kind of a bridge movie. Where it's like, we're making a movie where we show where Rabbit is after he escapes from Evil Bong World to open up this bowling alley where he's topless and living his life. But we have to have the Ginger Dead Man, who is not voiced by Gary Busey this time, which It's a very bad Gary Busey kind of interpretation, you know, of what Gary
so
Busey sounds like. Which was fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. It's just that it's a movie that's really nothing problem that I had with it, because the other Evil Bong movies, they have a story and they get there and it's kind of fun and entertaining. This one, it's just, there's nothing there. It's a short. It's Rabbit escaping from Evil Bong World to open up a bowling alley that is topless, but you don't really get the topless part of it. We kind of get that there's topless people in there. We have, you know, Romy Moon showing up as Candy going, I want a job, and pulling off her top and going, yeah, you're hired. You know, that's one of those things where it's kind of like a best.
Well, I mean, all the chicks were showing their boobs, though, man. I mean, except for the one blonde.
Because she wants
right,
to be an actress.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
she's
in
actress.
Real life, she didn't want to show her tits because she wanted to be an actress. So, yeah, Phoebe didn't show her tits because she wanted to be an actress. And she thought that this would springboard her into other features. But, like, Sam Aotaki, who played Darla, I was like, she's all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in this movie. You know, she's pulling off
her
top. She's having a good time. You know, oh, my God, I loved her. You know, and same thing with Romy Moon, rather, who played Candy. You know, she was having fun. She knew what movie this was. But it's one of those movies where it doesn't really have a point. It doesn't really have a plot. It's just Rabbit escaped. He's opening up this bowling alley, and we have Ginger Dead Man wanting him to come back to Evil Bong World. Where is he? He's supposed to be here because I get stressed when he gets a boner. So we have to go find him, and Evil Bong going, I don't know where the fuck he is, man. I guess we're going to have to go find him. And, you know, that's what it is. And a 50-minute movie feels like a two-hour movie when you're watching it.
Yeah, there are definitely times where for a short film, I was feeling it. You know, like it felt like, okay, like I would look at the clock and be like, dude, like what the hell? How is this only 20 minutes in? You know, it felt like I said, it felt like a long television show. But, you know, for me anyway, like I had eaten a gummy to get in the right mindset for the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found it to, again, like the points that made me giggle gave me the giggles the right way. You know, they were stoner-like giggles. There were a couple, like, laugh-out-loud moments. There was the marriage of all of the this universe, I guess, you know. I never realized how interconnected, you know, Evil Bong was. Like, I knew there was an Evil Bong first Ginger Dead Man movie, but I didn't realize that they were also putting Ooga Booga in there and, like, all of that. So, like, when Hambo showed up, I was like, holy shit, I know this guy. Why do I know him? Because we covered that movie. You know, otherwise I would have been completely lost, you know. And again, you know, he provided some of my favorite humor of this particular this movie.
Sorry.
I don't mean to start laughing, but I'm thinking about a specific scene and it fucking killed me. So, but the lack of death in the film was kind of a bummer. I was hoping and thinking that at some point, especially when the Evil Bong shows up in fucking reality, you know, when they come to the bowling alley, I figured there was going to be like some sort of bloodbath occurring, and like I don't know, like does that happen in the next movie?
A little bit. Yeah, because the next one is Evil Bong High Five, which is all of them in the Evil Bong world and Evil Bong trying to take over the world. So I have seen it, you know, and we could talk about it. But, yeah, no, it's more centered in the horror world than this one is. Like I said, this one feels like a bridge movie. It feels like we need to do something because the character of Rabbit, played by Sonny Carl Davis, he's the only really that shows up in all of them. We also have Larnell, played by John Patrick Jordan.
Larnell was in the other films.
Yeah, he shows up towards the end as kind of a throwaway character, where he shows up with Sarah from the previous movie, and we also have Felicity showing up. So they're doing continuity, but it's kind of like a throw-in. Like, well, we have to end this movie somehow, so let's have a reunion of all these characters. But, you know, it's one of those weird things where it's like we're not going to have dialogue heavy. Where it's like, yeah, remember what happened in the last movie? Well, we're going to talk about, you know, what's happening right now, because part three took place in the space program. So, yeah.
Well, the smart thing to do, I mean, you know, what we've seen other horror films do in this case would have been to throw in a couple flashbacks from the previous movies.
Yeah.
And that could have padded the runtime a little bit, as well as give us, you know, a little bit of a catch-up on everything besides some of the dialogue, which the one thing I will say, the dialogue that they gave, you know, it was, I never felt lost, even though I haven't seen Evil Bong 1, 2, 3, or any of the Ginger Dead movies, or the Ginger Dead versus the Evil Bong film. I didn't feel lost. Like, meeting these characters, I felt like, oh, okay, so this is where they interacted. I see the relationships between them, and this is how it's going to work.
Well, it's even like when David Ducato shows up, and David DeValle show up in the movie
Dakota.
Talking about how they want to make a movie. And the bowling alley, where he's like, yeah, I mean, you know, sorority girls and slime ball ballorama. Yeah, and I mean, it's like, yeah, that's great, but they never go back to it. Like, they never go back to the fact that he wants to make a movie for $50 in this bowling alley. It's just one scene. But if you look at David's, you know, filmography, he makes like 20 movies a year. But he is.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the actors, too. I mean, it's like okay, like we know people who are in a lot of things in the indie scene. You know, we've had our run-ins with some people, man. But looking at the amount of some of the films that these people put in the course of like 1 year, it's like, holy shit, man. Like, how the fuck do you do, like, how do you have the time to get to like all these different sets to get that done?
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, like I said, look at David's filmography. He made 20 movies within a year in 2017, 2018, 2019. He never stopped working. But, you know, to go back to...
Look at Mindy Robinson, man, Phoebe. She was, it's like ridiculous.
Oh, man, yeah. Just never stopped. You know,
none of them are porn.
She was fun. They didn't play with those characters enough, and that was my problem. Is that your whole set piece for this movie is that there's topless bowling. You're there to kind of bring in the guys for the topless bowling. So, yeah. Get out there, you know, pick up your seats and bowl. And they never really play with it. Like, they show them bowling in the beginning of the movie, and then that's kind of it. You know, they kind of pop up here and there. But, you know, what's the centerpiece for this movie? How are you going to bring people in? You're going to have the gutter ball special where there's a weed in the shoes? Well, you know. Fine, you know, for a certain set, but he never played with the whole top of bowling angle.
Well, all the action took place at the counter when everyone came in and hung a rabbit. That was the problem. Everything happened at the counter. Nothing was really going on at, you know, between the lanes enough, you know, except for the rednecks, you know, where you have
the
that
rednecks,
moment. But you,
as an African-American couple.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm like, you know, I'm agreeing with what the King is saying, is you're not seeing enough action going on in the actual bowling alley. It's like every time you see them is in the background, you know, it's like green screen bowling alley, you know, going on in the background while all the main
screen.
Action
that
going on.
That was real, man.
Yeah,
real.
You were stoned. You were stoned.
Nah, man. It's the camera work that they were using. You think they can afford green screen, man? The only place you know green screen was in the fucking Bong World, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, so you're telling me Bong World is real?
Yes.
Weed World.
I've been there.
I've been there, too. I've had both wonderful experiences and horrible experiences.
Yes, it grows in your attic, we know.
I don't remember the last time I did a fucking bong hit, bro. Like, yeah.
No, me neither, man. Me neither. Like, that's easily, like, over 20 years. Probably closer to 25 years. You know, I had great fun.
Somewhere in the 90s.
Great fun in that realm, for sure, in the 90s. And when the time was come to move on from that style of intake, you know, I moved on from that style of intake and never looked back.
But I thought that was the best way to get a hit.
Sure, but it's a bong. You got to keep it clean. There's just way too much maintenance involved with it, dude. And personally, me, myself, I don't want to be that fucking
You just
high.
Don't want to do the dishes.
You want to get stoned, but you don't want to do the dishes. Oh, okay.
I don't
want to
be that stoned, man. See, that's the thing. As I've become an older, more refined individual, you know, like I like the expansion of my mind, which is what I've always explored with any of these things. I mean, the Dean was with me on many of these adventures. So the idea of expanded thought is what I'm looking for, not unconscious puddle of fucking piss. Laying there, you know, feeling like my ears are dripping brain and my fucking ball sack is somewhere around my ankle. That's
okay,
a good day.
You know, this whole movie, though, it feels like Charles Band just wants to be Trauma so bad. He wants to be Lloyd Kaufman Trauma-esque in the worst way. Make it funny. Make it over the top. You know, we have Ginger Dead Man, you know, in the Evil Bong world where he's getting in love with Butter, you know, by these two topless girls, and he's like, yeah, but it would be better if Rabbit was here. Go find where he is, man. What do you mean you don't find him yet? Like, we need to go out there and find him. You know, it's the lack of blood and the lack of death in this movie. It was missed. This movie is 50 minutes long. And the best we can do is Ooga Booga showing up from fucking nowhere, throwing a spear in the redneck's eye, and then just disappearing again. Why is Ooga Booga here? Just to show up, and like, there's no explanation for why he's there. Just he's there. And
well,
you know,
no, we know he's because of Hambo.
It's like, yeah,
he comes with Hambo. And remember, Hambo particularly,
Hambo.
He specifically points out the fact that the rednecks were having the five-finger special. So I have a feeling the idea is that Ooga Booga is traveling with Hambo at this point.
It could be. It's just it's another one of those things. You have the merchandising of these characters from with Hambo where – you know, the Asian couple shows up and he's like, you look just like this character. Hell yeah, you take that. Nobody takes a couple bowling, right?
You were the basis. You're the basis for the character. I didn't even, like, I forgot about Hambo's whole spiel at the beginning of Ooga Booga. So when he starts the conversation and he starts saying this, and then he pulls out the character and it all dawned on me. And you know what, man? Again, I, as a kid from the 80s, you know, I love racial humor of this nature. So when it's good-natured and the people themselves are kind of like laughing with it and it's just done just to like kind of shock and make you laugh, I was fucking dying. Okay, I was completely 100% like this was the part of the film that like really just it cracked me up. And again, like that is what I was looking for. I could have used more humor of this nature throughout the film.
And
they
wasn't
could have
being
worked
mean
a little
about
more stoner comedy into it.
Yeah, but he wasn't being mean about it, too, Hambo. Like, he wasn't being racist towards that couple. Like, he was like, yeah, I'd make a character on you, and I'm going to buy you bowling tickets.
The character is completely racist. Their character's completely racist. But look at Jeff Dunham.
Absolutely.
Who's made a fucking career of being a fucking, you know, a ventriloquist with a bunch of fucking stereotype dummies. You know, that is the basis of a lot of comedy, you know. It's just, it all depends on what side of Twitter you land on as whether or not it's acceptable.
But it was the fact that Hambo wasn't being, you know, angry towards that. Like, he wasn't trying to put them in a box. Like, he was like, oh, I based my character on you. Hell yeah. Here, you can have this. And I'll buy you bowling tickets. Like, you deserve this. Like, he wasn't being mean-spirited, which I kind of enjoyed. Like, he wasn't being angry towards them, you know, and he wasn't trying to spit, you know, racist, you know, words towards them. He was not.
No, it wasn't done with hate. You know, it was done with ignorance.
Yeah. You know, him constantly trying to steal the bottles away, you know, from Phoebe, who's trying to serve him alcohol. Just the bottles away. I'll take these.
And that's what happens when the King and I end up going to Taco Bell, you know, where we have had too many.
Taco Bell.
And then I insist on them calling me Captain
Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Enchiritos,
no, but but King, you remember that night, man, where I made him call me Captain Asshole when they called out my ticket.
Really, you want to call me Captain Asshole?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, enough of this. But I'm here. I just want my burritos. Thanks. I remember really well. Like I said, we have, you know, Ginger Dead Man wanting to know where Raven is, getting into that world with Evil Bong, who serves no real purpose, Evil Bong, just to kind of be there. And Ginger Dead Man seeing Candy. Oh, yeah, like, she's got, you going to kill her? Yeah, yep, we will. Maybe if I fuck her, I'll be a human again. Yeah. Here we go.
This is the other thing that made me laugh, man. I mean, he has a little tiny breadstick, okay? And when that thing started shooting fucking cream all over, I was like, okay, man.
I mean, he said it was going to happen.
I mean, look, yeah, you know, not to make the pun, but this is right up my alley, okay? Like, this is what I was hoping the entire film could be, but unfortunately, you know, they could not hold that up for a 53-minute period.
And yeah, this was the moment that I'll tell you where it's like, you know, this was the one moment where I actually laughed out loud when he was like, oh, I'm going to fucking cream. And then, you know, it's whipped cream all over her chest and shit like that. I fucking started rolling.
Funny. He apologizes. I'm like, that's awesome.
I've done that
before.
He,
you know, he's got his whip. I'm sorry.
Apologize.
You know, but it's,
yeah,
it's,
yes. I have apologized,
no,
and you know what? The one time the
you
person
never
told me,
fucking,
don't, no, she told me,
you
don't
never
apologize,
fucking apologize.
I don't mean it.
No, you never fucking apologize, man. It's like, well, cool, that's not like you, man. You sit there and say, no, you want this fucking shit. That is the fucking ghoul mentality. Is, yeah, you want this because courtesy of the ghoul, you are welcome.
Many years ago, number one, number two, you know what? Sometimes the ghoul can get a little bit out of hand, and you know what? I do actually have, like, somewhere in here, like feelings, and there is a part of me that knows that sometimes the ghoul goes a little bit too far. You know, it's rare that it happens, but it does happen.
Did he just admit that?
Again,
but it does.
many moons.
This episode will be erased immediately after broadcasting.
We'll stay up. It's not that bad. We're going to make it through. That's what we do.
Oh,
you persevere.
I'm more worried about the ghoul girl kicking my ass on that one than anything else. So.
Yeah. No, just listen to this episode. Man, this is the one you have to listen to. Listen to any other episode you want. There's not this one. You know, and it's one of those things where I like the fact that they kind of appreciated the fact that it's in its own universe where they have the Evil Bong soundtrack for sale at the counter, and they have the
and
Evil Bong, you know,
they have all the bread.
Yeah, they have the Evil, you know, jars. Well, just tell the little kids it's for the juice. You know, those little kids put the juice in the Evil Bong. You know, I'll put your merchandise. And it's like, oh, man, I remember when Tommy Chong was in this movie back in the day. Made me miss that first movie. Tommy Chong is so good in the first Evil Bong movie. And he never came back to do another one. It was a one-off.
Did they just, like, live in his trailer park or something?
In the first one?
He's not in a Rob Zombie movie.
No, I think he lived in a trailer. If I remember right, he lived in like a trailer, and they would cut to him every now and again. Again, like I said, I never finished it, unfortunately. I got to go back. Like I said, I was going to watch them all and finally finally see it.
He's going to buy the Evil Bong box set.
Yes.
Well, in the first one, Rabbit shows up with Evil Bong, EB. And he gives it to Jimbo, played by Tommy Chong, and Tommy Chong smokes from it. And then he becomes King of the Evil Bong. So, yeah. Well, you watch it, you know, and you'll see. But, yeah, he never shows up again. After that, they're like, yeah, it's enough. You know, Tom and Sean was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to make another one. I had fun with this. But, you know, it's the whole thing of the only death we get is Redder Neck by Ooga Booga in the face, which I love because his friend Redder picks him up in his arms. He's like, oh, no! And has to run out of the bowling alley with him in his arms. And I'm like, that got a laugh at me. I was like, that's the only part where I started laughing. I was like, that's so great. Him picking up his friend and carrying him out of the bar with a spear hanging out of his eye. And then Ooga Booga disappears. He's like, I'm gone.
That's yep,
the only part of this movie.
My work is done
mm-hmm.
here.
And then
but
you
things
have
start to heat, things start to heat up in the bowling alley, and then Rabbit needs to start changing the mood.
Yeah, because Rabbit wants to have that match between the two girls, you know, Vanity and Sarah. Like, who's going to be the girl that you go with? They're going to roll for that, and that's going to be the deciding factor. Oh, you know what, Ginger Dead Man? We kind of like you, so why don't you
all
roll
right,
for
this? All right, my esteemed colleagues here very quickly. As I look at the clock,
get
I need
the threesome
to,
going.
I need to.
Come on, spit it out.
Yes.
You need
I need to jump out of here. I need to jump out of here real quick. I have to take care of something very quickly. My pick for next week is from 2006. It's available on Tubi. We're going to follow some office workers on a retreat into the woods watching 2006 Severance.
Fucker for me, Matt. Severance.
Okay.
2006. Tubi.
Oh,
all
okay.
Right.
Gotta
go. Catch you all later.
All right, man.
Okay.
All right, catch you.
Good idea. All right, but like we were saying, we got to do bowling for love, and we got to sit there and have the weed blower go around and spread its horny weed all over the bowling alley.
And, you know, can I take this home?
No, nah, man.
You know, this is for home usage. You know, you can use it here. That's it. You know, he could have gotten a threesome out of it. I was like, come on, man. That was missing. In this movie, like, just have a three-way.
Well, again, I mean, you know, Rabbit had to get everybody high off of the EB's, you know, special weed or whatever. This way, they can all get warped to Bong World, so she can apparently draw off of their life force and energy. Deep, dude. There's a lot of meaning behind that, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that with Ginger Dead Man going, I can roll now? Awesome! And when he rolls, Evil Bong shows up saying, not that my shit. And then just blasts them all from the Evil
so
Bong
fast,
World. Which,
motherfucker!
Evil Bong World sounds like the greatest fucking place you could ever be. You get weed, you get chicks, you get sex. Like, why is that a punishment? That's
because it's not real.
No, it's real to them, man. That's why Rabbit was like, I got so tired because of my dick anymore, so I had to leave. I was like, well, that's your problem.
Rabbit got
lowered,
man. Keep it up.
Erectile dysfunction is a very widespread and common thing for guys in their 40s, you know, and 50s and whatnot. So we're not making fun of that. Poor Rabbit, okay? He looks like he's 60-something. You know, he finally got his dream, and he couldn't freaking, you know, couldn't get it up, man. You know, I guess the only thing
she
couldn't make was the blue or red pill for him.
Well, but once he's back in the alley, Rabbit wants to grab it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would find it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can't fuck anymore, but I can still get high and I can still relax. So, you know, Bong World is where I'm at. You know, it doesn't have to be all about getting sex. But, you know, Rabbit obviously had, you know, a different purveyance of the world. I mean, I don't know. Just him wanting those girls to get topless. I'm like, dude, take it easy. Don't look so eager. You know, just part of the job, man.
He
also loves
cleaning
the
women again.
He loves cleaning the front of the panel thing too, you know.
Eagerly.
Yeah, that was Evil Bong 20 from 2015. We know our pick for next week for the Dean Hunt to jump out real quick. Severance from 2016, so we'll be covering that next week. But what I wanted to say before we close out real quick is that we are at episode 194 of this reboot that we started 4 years ago. 4/19/2017 was our reboot, rebrand of Talking Terror, and I cannot wait because we are 5 episodes away from 200 of this rebrand, and I can't believe we're almost there, guys. It's amazing. You know, 400 episodes deep.
Yeah, man, I can't believe we're that close to 200.
We'll get there, and 200 more after that, man. You know, we'll be good to go.
Oh, we're to the next 200. So, Mucky, why don't you go ahead and sign yourself off as we close tonight's episode?
All right. This is the Mad Monkey saying thanks for listening to tonight's very high episode of Talking Terror, and let me come in your ear. Good night, everybody.
Smoke weed every day. So, Ghoul, why don't you hit us with a little bit of closure at the end tonight?
You know, smoke it, roll it, enjoy it. However it is that you take it, do it responsibly. Have fun, everybody. Stay scared.
And as for me, your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for continuing your listening to the fun episodes that we have, and we look forward to having you back here next week for a separate. Watch horror movies, keep America strong. Hail Satan. Hail Odorous. Hail yourself. Smoke weed every day. We love you. See you back here next week.